You're a little older and a lot wiser. The future is yours. Define aging on your own terms. Welcome to AARP Without Limits with your host, Mike Olander.
Hello and welcome. This is AARP Without Limits. We are disrupting aging one show at a time. All of our episodes are available anytime on demand at WPTF.com or wherever you get your favorite podcast. I'm your host, Mike Olander of AARP North Carolina, and we've got a great show for you today, folks. Dr. Nathan Dollar, who's the Director of Carolina Demography at UNC Chapel Hill, is with us here in the studio to talk about the people of North Carolina, the dynamics of the state's population growth, and what challenges and opportunities that presents to us. But before we get to him, as always, ladies and gentlemen, as you know, we like to start with a little informal chit-chat with my... I can call you partner in crime now,
absolutely,
Mike, right? We know each other well enough now at this point, I think.
We're tight.
Yeah, we're like this, man. We got the same name, for God's sake.
Come on! Mike and Mike.
That's right.
It happens to be in the morning.
That's right. It is at this point, yeah. Though that's one thing, on demand, people can be listening
anytime.
To this years from now.
It could be. This will live in perpetuity.
People could be, we could have colonized Mars.
Yeah.
Maybe we'll
we could be heard in the solar system. Think about that.
That's right.
You know,
who knows? Maybe we'll ask, well, it's a little too early to ask our guest about the demography of Mars. We're not quite there yet.
We'll get there.
Future projections.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
Okay, yeah. We'll stick with that. Anyway, how are you, my friend? Good to see you.
I'm doing well. I am doing very well. The pollen's a little lower after the rain.
Thank God, yes.
I'd rather see the yellow puddles than the yellow clouds. So I'm good. Good. How are you?
Doing well. Very well. Had a little break last week. Mm-hmm. I had my my kids had their spring break from school. And there's this little group of us, one of my kids' friends' parents. We all happen to get along great, which is really nice. And this is now our third time we've done this, where we've gone out of the area, got an Airbnb, and just enjoyed time together. We've done it in the past around concerts and stuff. Mm-hmm. Went to Charlotte, went to Nashville once. This time we went to Lake Gaston.
Nice.
Never been there before.
Yeah.
Got an Airbnb right on the water. With a little boathouse there, and their boat and jet ski was off limits to us. However, my buddy Arian has a supercharged jet ski, which he brought. And had a good time there. Didn't ride it too much, and your little funny story, Mike. So I'm being safe. I'm kind of testing this thing out a little bit. And I'm like, okay. You know, going easy, trying to go easy with the kids. Water's real smooth, though, so we're getting the speed up a little bit. Not going to say how fast, but just enough to where my parent alarm started going up. Like, be responsible, Mike. Your kids are with you.
It's
a three-seater, right?
Okay.
So we're going to dock. I mean, we're kind of putting along, but zero knots, basic, one knot. And like, hey, got to turn. Well, I'm pretty new to jet skiing. I know that when you're moving quickly, you want to lean into your turns.
Yeah.
But it's just the opposite when you're barely moving.
I can see where this is going.
Oh, yeah. Right over the water. Just right over. We just, without any notice at all. Just next thing I know, I'm like, okay, this water is freezing. And now I have to figure out how to get my kids back up on this thing. Thank God we weren't in the middle of the lake or whatever. We were pretty close to the dock.
Okay.
It all worked out. And then... later on that day, I'm kind of noticing my neck's bugging me a little. You know, it's one of those things.
Yeah.
Well, about 2-3 days later, Mike, I'm literally Googling, can your neck be broken and you not know it? Because I've heard this happening with athletes, right?
Wow.
Now I can move around, and fortunately, I have not gone to the doctor, but I will say. It is feeling better.
Okay.
So I think it was just real weird strain in my neck and my back that I'm not used to.
Yeah. You were probably turning in some directions you weren't used to turning.
That's right. I was trying to turn this way. I was not leaning the right way, and then I was turned upside down into the water.
Right. Yeah.
So that's just how things go, I guess.
I've done the jet ski thing one time.
Mm-hmm.
That's enough.
Yeah.
I'm good.
I was
with my son-in-law. And who knew? Jeff was a speed freak. And he had his kid and me on there, and I was hanging on for dear life. And it's like, okay, this is enough fun for this year. just let me off. I'm good. I'm good. You guys go play. It was a little more than I had anticipated.
It can be. I first went in the Bahamas.
Okay.
And we got on, and I'm like, you know, it's like one of those excursions, you know, when you're on a cruise,
yeah.
you know? And I'm like, oh, great, we'll go. And I've never been on a jet ski. I'm like, oh, no problem.
Yeah.
Well, after our little lesson, which was about 30 seconds, we yeah. then very quickly learned that this is full throttle jet skiing. And he was like, because, you know, you go in heat, like we do these heats and you go and, okay, you go. And then, you know, 5 seconds later, the next one goes. And
yeah, yeah.
you have to keep equidistant. So they're like, go full speed. That's the yeah, way to do yeah. it. Well, people were uncomfortable. And next thing we get to at the end of our first heat and the guy is like screaming at people, you, this is full throttle. What do you do? I told you, you nope, no slow down. You know,
okay.
Losing it. So I'm literally, by the second heat, I'm literally going as fast as I can, calling out to God, literally audibly saying, Lord, if you're going to take me, this is the most beautiful place I've ever been to on the planet. I'm fine. I'm just like, that's it. Well, by the end of the fifth heat, I was an expert, so.
There you go. That's one way to learn.
There we go. That's right.
Yeah.
Ladies and gentlemen, this is not a jet ski show. This is ARP Without Limits, and I'm really delighted to get to the really good part of our show today, which is a discussion with Dr. Nathan Dollar. He is the director of Carolina Demography at UNC Chapel Hill. I'm hoping I got that title correct. If not, he can correct us right away. Dr. Dollar, thanks so much for being with us here.
Thank you for having me.
Really appreciate you making you're not the trek, and you do live here in Raleigh.
I do.
But let's begin right there, actually. Tell us a little bit about yourself, a bit about your background, and how you ended up where you are.
Sure. It's definitely been a nonlinear path, I would say. I'm originally from North Carolina. I'm from Wilton, North Carolina, if you're familiar with Wilton. And started my college career at ECU. So I'm a pirate at heart, studying anthropology. Transferred up to Cullowhee. To Western Carolina University, where I studied sociology and Spanish. And it was there that I became really interested in international development and migration and the complex ways they're related. Graduated from there, and to give you the abridged version of the subsequent 20-plus years, worked in public health outreach and farm worker health for several years. I did a stint in the Peace Corps in El Salvador. For 2.5 years approximately, and then came back and got my doctorate in sociology and studied sociology and demography at UNC Chapel Hill, and graduated from there and took a research scientist role at the Carolina Population Center. And so one quick correction, Carolina Demography, we're the applied research unit at the Carolina Population Center, which is
gotcha.
On the campus of UNC Chapel Hill.
Mm-hmm.
And then so this position opened up, and I had been a big fan of Carolina Demography and the work that my predecessor, Becky Tippett, did to really build the program and get people across North Carolina the data that they need to make informed decisions. And so I was a big believer in the mission. This position opened up, and so I was in the right place, and here I am.
Here you are.
Yeah.
Excellent. So give us the 35,000-foot view of the demography of North Carolina.
Sure. There's a few big stories, but we'll just start with growth.
Mm-hmm.
North Carolina has been growing at a steady clip and faster than the nation every year since 1970. So since 2020, which was the last decennial census, we've added about 604,000 new residents, and we've seen the third fastest growth, largest growth of any U.S. state behind only Texas and Florida. Now, that's since 2020. Last year, between July 1, 2023 and July 1, 2024, we grew by about 165,000 new residents, and we were the fourth fastest growing state behind Texas, Florida, and then California.
Mm-hmm.
We surpassed 11 million residents last year. So there's a lot of people that live in North Carolina.
Mm-hmm.
We surpassed 11 million residents. We are currently the ninth largest state, but we are projected to surpass both Ohio and Georgia in the 2030s and become the seventh largest state.
Hmm. So as you know, America is aging, as you know very well.
Yes.
And most people usually, when they think about that, they immediately think about the baby boom. You know, at this point, about 11,000 Americans a day are turning 65.
Mm-hmm.
But I noticed in interviews I've read and listened to of you cite fertility rates as an important factor in the aging of the state. Can you explain that a little bit? What's driving the decline in fertility rates that makes this happening?
Right. So when we think about fertility, we usually measure it in demographers in terms of the total fertility rate, and that is the average number of births a woman is expected to have over her entire reproductive life if she experiences the age-specific period rates. A total fertility rate of 2.1 is replacement, right? Mm-hmm. The United States has been hovering around replacement as a whole since the mid-1970s, and we fell below replacement fertility in 2008 during the Great Recession, and we have continuously been kind of a precipitous drop ever since, as a whole, as a country. Currently, according to 2023 provisional birth data, the total fertility rate in the United States is 1.64 births per woman. Well below replacement.
Right.
In North Carolina, in 2022, which is the latest data I have available, it was about 1.72, which was above the nation, but below, still below replacement. So declining fertility is not unique to North Carolina nor the United States. In fact, all of our high-income peer countries are below replacement fertility and have been much longer. They fell below replacement much earlier than the United States, and they are well below what we are now.
Well, that's fascinating. So other countries, you said?
Yes, absolutely.
Wow. And other countries are also aging because of baby booms and things they've had. So this is a very dynamic similarity we've got with others as well. Fascinating. We're going to continue this conversation with Dr. Nathan Dollar. This is AARP Without Limits. We'll be right back.
AARP is working hard to make sure people in North Carolina are getting the most out of life. Whether it's helping you stay healthy, save more money, care for loved ones, or simply have some fun, AARP is making a difference in communities across the state. You have a wise friend and fierce defender with AARP. Learn more about progress being made for older adults in the state by listening to AARP Without Limits. You can find the latest episodes of AARP Without Limits wherever you listen to your podcasts.
And we are back. This is AARP Without Limits. Just a reminder, folks, that we always love to hear from you. If you have a question, a comment, a suggestion, a recommendation for a future guest or topic, please send us an email, aarpwithoutlimits@aarp.org. We've been speaking today with Dr. Nathan Dollar about the demography of North Carolina. Fascinating stuff. We were specifically talking, Doctor, about the fertility rate.
Right.
And the question we've got to ask is why? Why is the fertility rate dropping? It's happening, but why is that happening?
Right.
What's driving that?
It's a global phenomenon, like I said before, and all of our high-income peer countries are below replacement. But so it gets us to why. It's often framed, declining fertility is often framed in public discourse as this crisis. Most demographers, including myself, would dissuade against that type of framing. And in fact, declining fertility is what we would expect as nations go through what we call the demographic transition. Now, in a nutshell, and I'm going to try not to put your listeners to sleep. In fact, I told my son I was going to come on the podcast this morning, and he goes, "Oh, it's going to be boring." So I'll keep this brief. But essentially, the demographic transition is a model that explains the connection between economic development and demographic change. So when economies start out pre-modern, more agrarian economies, birth rates and death rates are really high. As we develop into and start industrializing, increases in our improvements in sanitation and food supply, death rates go down, birth rates remain high, which causes population growth. Mm-hmm. As we continue to industrialize and there's improvements in economic opportunities and educational opportunities, especially for women, birth rates begin to decline. And as we continue to progress into more industrial and post-industrial, people grow up in low fertility environments, and norms about cultural norms and ideas about ideal family size and desired number of children, they go down. And so it's complex, but we would expect fertility to decline. And we, most demographers worldwide agree that fertility will continue to decline and not come back up above replacement.
That's interesting, that cultural sort of norm, because I'm a baby of five kids, and usually when I mention people go, oh, big family. And I'm like, right. When I was a little kid, nobody ever said that. But it seems like the older I get, you hear that more and more often. That's interesting. Some of the projections of the future population growth in the state that I have read have been very intriguing. I've seen a couple of presentations, or at least heard mentioned a couple of times, that the Charlotte and Triangle regions are going to grow so much in the coming years that they might actually morph into one giant region called Charlay, as in Charlotte/Raleigh. What's your take on that?
I mean, it's certainly possible. Mm-hmm. I do want to credit my friend and colleague Mike Klein, who is the state demographer, mm-hmm. and his office is at the Office of State Budget and Management. And we support the work that he does. His office is charged with producing the official projections of each county, and you can see the growth between here and Charlotte. There's a lot of growth in those counties, and they're growing at a fast clip. You know, I would encourage folks to, when you get out beyond 10 years, the projections have less reliability, and so mm-hmm. They're not a crystal ball, but we do anticipate lots of growth between here and Charlotte in the next 10, 15 years, without a doubt. And it is possible that we could potentially morph into one region, but there's still a lot of space between here and there, so I think it remains to be seen.
Mm-hmm. Which, of course, brings all the usual questions about resources, development and sustainability, impact on the environment, all that's the public health. I mean, all sorts of
housing.
Things here. Right? Housing, oh my gosh, yes.
Yeah, perhaps the biggest.
Huge issues here. What about rural, like in terms of the demography? I know we've got a lot of growth going on in the urban centers, but kind of an opposite story going on in some of the rural counties, right, where they've actually lost population. Is that correct?
That is correct.
What is the future of rural North Carolina looking like?
Well, so first, I always encourage people to think about urban and rural as a continuum and not a divide. It's not like a 0-1 mm-hmm. dichotomy. It's a continuum. But you're correct. Most of the growth that we've seen over the past 20 years and the most of the growth that is projected is in our more urban and suburban areas. Lots of our most rural areas are experiencing population decline, and many of them we expect will continue to do so. We expect them to be more sparsely populated, and we expect them to be older. And so they, in many respects, are hit with a bit of a double whammy when it comes to aging, because mm-hmm. So fertility is on the decline across the board, as we know. And the most you have a lot of county to county migration, so lots of working age people move from rural areas to perhaps urban areas in North Carolina or elsewhere in search of work and economic opportunities. Those are the people that are the most likely to have children. And so when they move, so the components of population change, fertility, migration, and mortality, they're related. So when the people who are most likely to have children move out, that causes the population to get older much faster. And so we anticipate some of the most rural places to be more sparsely populated and considerably older. And we already see that in the observed population data that we have.
Wow. So this is, I mean, it's clear to see why so much time and energy is put into studying population growth and demography. And this is just very dynamic. We haven't even talking about immigration yet and the influence
sure.
of that, which we don't have time to get into. You mentioned aging before. Where are the most concentrations of older North Carolinians right now in counties? Is it more rural? Is it more urban? Is it mixed?
As a rule, it's more rural. Mm-hmm. As a rule, the oldest counties, so the median age in the state right now is about 39.6, I believe. Mm-hmm. But it ranges from about 27 years in Onslow County, and that's because of the military base, and to a whopping 56.6 years in Brunswick County. But Brunswick County is not necessarily rural. Brunswick County is a little bit of a unique case because you have older people who are migrating there. which is also causing the population to get older. But most of our oldest places are the most rural places. And so, you, again, like I said before, you have younger people who are moving. Most of this growth is migration. 92% of all the state growth last year was in migration from other states and countries. People who are most likely to move for work and are in those prime working ages, which overlap with prime childbearing ages. Wow. And so the oldest places tend to be our most rural.
And follow up on that. Conversely, where are the younger places? So if I remember when my family and I moved to Charlotte in 2013, and I remember it felt like a young city, it looked like a young city, and then from what I understood, it was certainly compared to the rural parts of the state, it was a young city. Is that still really the truth? It is? Like Mecklenburg County is a...
Well, Mecklenburg, Wake, and the surrounding counties of Wake, they tend to be young. We're getting older everywhere, to be clear.
Right.
But our most urban centers remain the youngest. Mm-hmm. Oslo County is a bit of an anomaly because of the military base. But apart from that, most of our youngest places are urban centers. That's where they're centers of economic activity. They draw migrants, people who are moving in from other states and countries who tend to be young. Mm-hmm. And so that's what keeps them young.
How does your work help? You mentioned before a colleague who works the state demographer. How does your work help inform what they're doing, or work in concert with them, or go to other decision makers?
Sure. So, you'd be hard pressed to find a policy issue that's not informed by demographic data. We have several partnerships with state agencies. We work closely with the Department of Public Instruction on some student enrollment forecasts and some other data work and understanding how the population of enrollment and K-12 enrollment is changing. We've got some partners at the Department of Agriculture and some other state agencies and commerce that we work with. We work a lot in the workforce development space. As you can imagine, when you have an aging population and we've got these demographic changes, we need to make sure it has profound implications for planning for economic growth and workforce development. And so we work a lot in those spaces as well.
So across the board, all industries, different fields, from the cradle to the grave.
Absolutely.
Literally. That's quite a task you have there. Last question I've got to ask. Elected officials, decision makers, they've got to make informed decisions. When it comes to understanding the demography of the state or portions of the state, what's most important for them to know?
Oof.
And are there things that they tend to get wrong or misinterpret?
I would say certainly understanding the population that we currently have, and understanding the population that we're going to have. Like I said before, it's related to so many different policy issues. It's hard to say what's the most important thing that people should focus in on. Certainly the aging population and the percent of your population, for example, that's over 65 right now, and the percent of your population that's going to be over 65 in 10 years and 15 years, et cetera. There's some important efforts at the state right now. We have an all ages, all stages plan, as you're well aware of. And then lots of councils of governments and county governments are very active in planning for aging and creating the conditions and the policies to where the population can age in place, they can age with dignity, and we can extend those quality years of life. The other thing that I would say that's really important right now is we want to make decisions that are data driven. So we're always a big advocate for helping people get the data that they need to make informed decisions. But we want policies and practices that are driven by data and they're evaluated by data. And so I would say we need to continue to invest in our federal data infrastructure and ensuring that we have the investment, we have the scientific funding to continue to have a robust data infrastructure that we can use to measure and evaluate and plan. Hmm.
Fascinating field you work in. Absolutely fascinating. Wish we had more time. How can people follow your work or learn more about the work that you're doing?
Sure. You can visit us at our website. It's carolinademography.cpc.unc.edu. You can follow us on Facebook. Just search for Carolina Demography, LinkedIn. You can sign up for our newsletter and follow our blog and stay informed.
Great. And folks, hit the backspace 15 seconds if you didn't catch all that real quick. So one of the beauties about podcasting, wouldn't you say? That is a wrap, folks. Thank you to Dr. Nathan Dollar for being our guest today. Thank you to Mike Davis for production. Thank you for listening. This has been AARP Without Limits. I'm Mike Olander with AARP North Carolina. We'll see you next time.